You're listening to the Matt Clark Report. Matt Clark Report. Conservative talk for real patriots, because freedom is on the ballot. Here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good afternoon, patriots, wherever you are in the country. Good morning on the West Coast. We are live from New York here, 12 p.m. every single day. We're going to come at you from Patriot One News. This is the Matt Clark Report. I'm your host, Matt Clark. Got a lot to talk about. Democrats across the country continue to drop the ball, fortunately, for us Republicans, for us conservatives who are desperately trying to save America, put this country back on track so we can start to rebuild, refocus, regroup, and restore the American values that so many of us grew up adoring. We saw Democrat after Democrat after Democrat get absolutely annihilated in their state debates last night. I don't know if you tuned in, but Fetterman went up against Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz didn't really have to do much. Didn't have to do much to put Fetterman out. We'll take a look at those clips. The guy's not fit. It's very clear. You cannot run the country with the mental issues, with the health concerns and issues that John Fetterman has. We've seen what happened to Joe Biden over the last 2 years. We've seen that it's not possible. Now, Joe Biden isn't even certifiably or officially dementia-riddled. We all know the deal. We know off the record. We know off the record, the guy has issues. We know he's so far gone, he can't run the country. Now we're talking about John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, who actually is certifiably very, very sick. He's mentally incapacitated, yet the Dems continue to still put this guy forward. It is ridiculous. The Democrats are out of control. They have lost their damn rocker. Fetterman got destroyed last night. We also tuned into the New York gubernatorial race, where we had Kathy Hochul go up against Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin was on fire. Lee Zeldin annihilated Kathy Hochul. And the reason is because Kathy Hochul didn't show up prepared. She just didn't show up. She thought she had it in the bag. She thought, oh, I'm in deep blue liberal New York. Everyone's going to vote for me no matter what, just because, hey, we're in New York, right? We're liberals. We're anti-insurrectionists. Not good enough, Kathy. Abortion did not carry Kathy Hochul last night. Lee Zeldin came in prepared, ready to take control of New York and destroy the debate. We'll also take a look at what Mitch McConnell's doing over in Alaska, and the fact that the Alaskan GOP is livid. They are sick of Mitch McConnell. They've censored Mitch McConnell. We got to get this guy out. We have got to get him out. It's time for Mitch McConnell to take a back seat. It's time for the rhinos to take a back seat. And that's exactly what is going to happen come November. Let's take a look at the disaster that John Fetterman found himself in last night. Now, before I show you this clip, keep in mind here, this is the best the Democrats have in Pennsylvania. Like, they scoured the state. They looked high and low. Who should we send to Washington? And they came up with John freaking Fetterman. No disrespect to anybody who's been through a stroke. My brother's been through a stroke. It's devastating. It's destroyed his life. This is not a slam on anyone who's been through a stroke. This is a slam on the Democrats for putting Fetterman forward. Let's take a look.
Hi, good night, everybody. No, here's what I think we have to fight about inflation here right now. That's what we need to fight about inflation. And I believe that, again, my doctors, the real doctors that I believe in, they all believe that I'm ready to be served. That's it. He got his Pennsylvania house from his own inlays from a dollar.
Mr.
Oh, I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
Okay.
Now, we all have to make sure that everyone that works is able to, that's the most American bargain, that if you work full time, you should be able to live and dignity as well. True. That's what I believe. I don't ever recall in the Statue of Liberty, did they say, take our tired, huddled masses and put them on a bus. There, everybody in Braddock, an overwhelmingly majority community of black community, all understood what happened. They understood what happened, and everybody agreed that. And whether it was a $50 tax break, about his farm in Montgomery County. So it's about supporting and helping, young earners.
I think we get the point. Okay. It was just, listen, I don't mean to laugh at the guy. I really don't mean to laugh at the guy. But how do you not laugh at the situation? How do you not laugh at the absolute disaster that is now being asked to lead the country? I mean, again, this is what the Democrats are doing. And there's a reason for this. The reason is because, and the Republicans have caught on to this, the Democrats are a little bit late to the party. The Democrat voters don't really understand what's going on here. But it's very apparent what's going on here. Democrats want to put forward candidates that they can control. We know the Democrats are trying to control our lives. They're trying to control the American people's lives. And it's not working out too well for them. We saw what happened during the pandemic. We've seen what happened during the last 2 years with Joe Biden. Executive order after executive order has been getting slammed, but they're trying to control every aspect of our lives. And it's not working out. It's not working out. Conservatives are pushing back. Donald Trump, thank God, 2016, pushed back. He woke the American people up. And we thought and realized very quickly, wait a second. We're not going to tolerate this. We're with Donald Trump 100%. The Democrats, however, don't understand that they are being forced to elect candidates who the Democrat leaders, such as Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the globalists, the elitists at the top, the George Soroses of the world, they're putting candidates forward that they can control. AOC, Ilhan Omar. Now you got Fetterman. We know Fetterman's not fit to lead. We absolutely know this. Democrats know this. They do not care. They don't care because they're not asking Fetterman to make decisions, just like they're not asking Joe Biden to make decisions. They're going to make the decisions at the top. And they want to put people in charge or in place, and by in charge, I put in charge in quotes, that they can control. And the Democrat voters haven't caught on to that just yet. Republicans have, and that was a big part of Donald Trump. Let's listen to what Democrats are even saying about John Fetterman.
Definitely, I'm an independent, by the way. I was definitely leaning towards Fetterman, and I think I have totally changed to the Oz side.
Why?
I felt that Fetterman just looked like he didn't have command of the facts. I do think his condition, unfortunately, is going to affect his ability to do the job. I thought Oz was pretty clear on the issues, and I thought he presented himself well and definitely threw out some plans where I didn't see any plans coming out of Fetterman.
All right. Appreciate it. Not surprised that it made you change, but who knows? Between now and Election Day, you may change again. Eric, I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Jessica.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you so much for being a part of this tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. And what did you feel coming out of the debate?
Well, I am a registered Democrat, and I was really focused on what I would hear from the candidates on the issue of abortion because I want to have control over my own maternal health choices. And so, honestly, I was pleased to hear from Oz that he would vote against a federal abortion ban. Mm-hmm. That kind of surprised me and definitely drew a line in the sand between him and Mastriano, who I think is a very dangerous person to be in the governor's seat in Pennsylvania.
So you believed Oz in his position, and even though a Democrat, did that mean that you want to vote for him now? I haven't heard you mention your candidate, Fetterman.
Yeah, I was kind of shocking to see Fetterman. I will say that I think that he improved through the course of the debate. I think that he kind of got his footing, and it's good to hear from experts that they think that he might continue to improve over the course of the next few months. And so I'm not 100% sure where I'm going to go on election day, but I do know for sure that I'm voting for Shapiro.
So, and this is the thing that just drives me nuts here, is that, you know, here we're hoping... We're hoping, or at least Democrats are hoping, I hope Fetterman improves. I hope his health pulls through. We're talking about sending somebody to the United States Senate, and we're just going to hope that maybe he'll get his cognitive ability back. We're just going to hope that maybe throughout the next couple of years that all of a sudden John Fetterman's going to be able to make a decision or string a sentence together? I mean, is this honestly where we are at in the Democrat Party? That we're just hoping that whatever candidate, no matter how dementia-riddled they are, no matter how stroke-riddled they are, that we're just going to hope along the way that the Democrats get their act together, that the candidate's health improves, and then off we go to a better America. It's not going to happen. Let's listen to one more clip. And this clip here has to do with the fact that all this guy has is he just slams Oz for being wealthy. I mean, that's it. He's got no policy. He's got no absolutely no position whatsoever. He's been doing it throughout the entire campaign. Let's have a listen.
Dr. Oz, you know, loves free money when it's a $500,000 tax break on one of his, you know, homes down in a ranch in Florida. And whether it was a $50 tax break, you know, about his farm in Montgomery County. So it's about supporting and helping, you know, young students to give them a break. I believe that supporting Dr. Oz.
All right, so I'm going to translate for you all. Fetterman basically was saying Dr. Oz loves free money when it's a $500,000 on one of his down on the ranch in Florida. I mean, what does this have to do with anything? So what? We're going to now slam Dr. Oz because he's wealthy. We're going to like just throw out the American dream. It's no longer cool to be wealthy anymore. You can't be rich. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi. When are we going to start slamming Nancy Pelosi for the hundreds of millions of dollars that she made over the last few years while in Congress? When are we going to start talking about that? So I just don't get what Fetterman's argument's been throughout this entire thing as far as slamming Dr. Oz for being wealthy, or that he's not from Pennsylvania, or that he has a couple mansions in New Jersey. We've seen this time and time again because Fetterman has no position. He's got absolutely no position whatsoever. So here we are. The Democrats are being forced to consider a stroke-riddled victim who can't string a sentence together, who has no policy, has no idea how he's going to help this country move forward. As a matter of fact, if anything, Fetterman's going to drive us backwards because he's soft on crime, which is a very, very persistent issue that we see amongst the Democrat Party. They're all soft on crime. Dem-led cities, very high crime. Chicago, Los Angeles, total dumpster fires right now. Completely dumpster fires right now. And we continue to see this over and over again amongst the Democrat Party. When we come back, we are going to discuss the disaster that Mitch McConnell has basically caused for the Republican Party. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. We'll go through exactly what's going on between Lisa Murkowski over in Alaska and Kelly, her opponent, when we come back after this.
Are you worried about the effects that higher inflation rates will have on your investments? Are you trying to secure your retirement savings against losses, but you notice that inflation is a hot topic these days? But how dangerous are low inflation rates on your retirement savings? An inflation rate of 2% may not seem like much, but it means that prices will just about quintuple over the lifetime of the average American. And 4% average inflation rate means that something that costs $1 when they're born will cost $23 when they die. That demonstrates the danger of even low inflation rates. So when it comes to gold and inflation rates, many investors want to know whether inflation rates have an effect on gold prices. What history indicates is that over the long term, increased inflation should lead to correspondingly higher gold prices. From September 1971 to August 2020, gold grew 7.5 times as much as inflation. Not only can an investment in physical gold help protect your assets against the damage done by inflation, it can also help grow the value of your retirement portfolio over the long term. If you're looking to protect your retirement assets, why wait until stock markets crash and gold begins to rise in price?
Right, so we spent the first segment discussing the absolute disaster that the Democrats put forward in Pennsylvania, John Fetterman versus Dr. Oz last night. Fetterman got absolutely destroyed. It's no surprise he's coming off of a massive stroke, for those of you who don't know. And this is the best that they got. This is just the best that they put forward all the time. They could just, it's just absolute garbage that they are putting forward. I want to talk about a very serious situation that we have going on over in Alaska. For those of you who don't know, we have Kelly Shibaka going up against Lisa Murkowski. This is how bad things are for the GOP. Mitch McConnell, the rhino that he is so determined to keep the establishment running the GOP that he's moving money, that he's getting in the way of what Alaskans actually want. In Alaska, we have a Republican going up against a Republican in their midterm election. We have Trump-backed Kelly Shibaka. Okay, we've got a Trump-backed Kelly Shibaka who is going up against Lisa Murkowski. Murkowski is a rhino. I mean, the spitting image, the very definition of what a rhino is. She votes Dem. She endorses Dem. I mean, she's just disaster. She's a total disaster for the Republican Party over in Alaska. And the Republican GOP know it, and they want her out. Alaska wants her out. So a little bit of the backstory here. Trump-backed Kelly Shibaka actually advanced to the U.S. Senate general election, which we're going to see coming up in the middle of November. Trump backed her. Trump's been saying, hey, listen, we've got a real opportunity here, real opportunity to put an America First Alaskan repped U.S. senator to Washington. Mitch McConnell doesn't like that, though. Mitch McConnell said, hold on, wait a second. That's not how I want to play this. So Murkowski, the incumbent, has been in the Senate for 20 years. She's washed up. She's your typical career politician Republican. She's everything that us conservatives don't want. And Alaska has made themselves clear. How clear have they made it? Well, so clear that Lisa Murkowski only won against Kelly Shibaka in that Alaska Senate primary by just a couple percentage points. Okay, so it's not like Kelly Shibaka, the Trump-endorsed candidate here, it's not like she got destroyed, okay? It's not like Lisa Murkowski destroyed her by 10 points. Fine, fair enough. Alaska wants Rhino Murkowski to stay. That's not the case, though. It's not the case. What's happened here is you got Lisa Murkowski only winning by a couple percentage points. So Alaska's making it very clear. We want an America First representative going to Washington. Mitch didn't like that. It freaked Mitch out. Mitch is now taking it upon himself to start pulling funds, to start moving money from other very important key races. Very important key races. And now wants to put all of this money, $9 million or so, $9 million to back Murkowski. Even though Alaska Republicans want Shibaka to go to Washington. So Mitch McConnell is now taking it upon himself to go up against the entire state of Alaska. Regardless of what Alaskans think, Mitch is saying, now, I know better. I'm not even from the freaking state, but I know better than you, Alaska. We want Murkowski, 20-year career politician rhino, to represent. I need her on my side in Washington. Why, Mitch? What do you guys got going on? What do you have going on that we're so desperate to keep going? So Mitch McConnell's there in Washington pulling the strings in Alaska, and Alaskans are just getting furious. Mitch McConnell said, we're leaving the door wide open in Arizona, but we want to move additional resources to other offensive opportunities that have become increasingly competitive, as well as unexpected expenses in Ohio. Okay. So they're pulling money. They're moving money. And it's all because Mitch McConnell doesn't want to let the establishment go. It's an absolute slam in the Republicans' faces who are desperately, or in Alaska GOP's face, who are desperately trying to put a candidate that they want. The Senate Leadership Fund is cutting roughly $8 million worth of television, radio, and digital spending in Arizona. Mind you, we need that money in Arizona. We need to help Arizona candidates who are hanging on by a thread here to win their races. Mitch doesn't care about that. Mitch just wants to throw money and make sure that Murkowski keeps her job. We're talking a lot of money here, $8 million. They cut $8 million digital spending in Arizona throughout September, and $1.7 million in ads in Alaska. So they're pulling ads. They're moving around. This is why I do not donate a single penny to the Republican National Committee. This is why I've never done it, and I will never do it. I donate to the candidate, always. Because you can't trust Mitch McConnell now putting his greedy little fingers in the super PAC, the Political Action Committee. And now moving money. Mitch McConnell is literally playing matchmaker for the states. He's playing matchmaker. And it's infuriating the Alaska GOP. Infuriating. Well, Trump hit back hard. Because remember, Shibaka is Trump-backed. Shibaka, Kelly Shibaka here, is who Alaskans want to send to Washington. It's who I want for Alaska as an American First conservative. It's probably who most of you watching this show want to go to Alaska. One man, Mitch McConnell, doesn't want it. Kelly Shibaka only lost to Murkowski by less than 2 points in the primary. 2 points. Alaska has spoken. Conservatives have spoken. But Mitch McConnell wants the final word. Trump slammed McConnell for diverting funds away from key Arizona state race, as he should. Because Mitch McConnell's ego, Mitch McConnell's own personal agenda, is now in the way of putting America back on track, of getting this country going again. Trump blasted Mitch McConnell for diverting the PAC funds away from Arizona Senate candidate Blake Master, who we really need that money to go to right now. Trump said the old broken crow Mitch McConnell is authorizing $9 million to be spent in order to beat a great Republican, Kelly Shibaka, instead of $9 million that really could be used for Blake Masters and other Republicans that with this money would beat their Democrat opponent. Obviously, Trump did not think it's a good idea to pull campaign funds from Masters' battle with incumbent Mark Kelly, Democrat. We need Masters to win in Arizona. Arizona needs to be red. We need that state to be red. We need Carrie Lake to win. We need Blake Masters to win. We needed that money to stay in Arizona. And this is what happens when you donate to Mitch McConnell's Republican National Committee, to Mitch McConnell's Super Political Action Committee funds. After all, in Alaska, the top two candidates for the Senate seat are both Republicans. They're both Republicans, the top two Senate seats. So we're now pinning them against each other. The incumbent Murkowski, 20-year career rhino, votes Democrat, endorses Democrats against America First, Trump-backed challenger Shibaka. Both Masters and Shibaka have Trump support, along with the thousands who support their America First agenda, unlike Murkowski, who voted to convict Trump. So what's going on here? The GOP's not talking to each other, and that's because Mitch McConnell doesn't want to talk to the conservatives. See, Mitch McConnell doesn't like the Lauren Boeberts of the conservative party. Mitch McConnell doesn't like Jim Jordan questioning or challenging election integrity. Mitch McConnell hates the likes of Carrie Lake. Mitch McConnell doesn't like anybody who doesn't support Mitch McConnell's agenda. And anybody who is seen as a threat to Mitch McConnell, what does he do? He rallies against you. Doesn't matter if you're a Republican. Mitch McConnell will go up against you. If you do not toe the line, if you do not follow Mitch McConnell's guidelines to the establishment, or if you don't follow in his footsteps for what Mitch wants for America, you're out. Which is why we never see him backing real American First conservative values. According to the Anchorage Daily News, the Senate Leadership Fund, a Republican PAC with ties to McConnell, funded. So now you got the Anchorage, or you got the Senate Leadership Fund, funding radio, TV, and web ads in Alaska, knocking Shibaka's credibility. So they're using that money not to go after a Democrat, but to go after a conservative, Trump-endorsed Republican. Clearly, McConnell sparked outrage in Alaska. Outrage. Back in August when he questioned the quality of candidates. The quality of candidates. He questioned the quality of candidates. Remember that back in August? Mitch McConnell came on and he said, listen, I just don't really think that these Trump-backed candidates are what's right for the GOP. I mean, who is Mitch McConnell to say that? Who is he to really come out and start questioning Trump's candidates? But he did. Mitch McConnell said, I think there's probably a greater likelihood the House flips to Republicans than the Senate, said McConnell. Senate races are just different. They're statewide. Candidate quality has a lot to do with the outcome. No, Mitch, you're just out of touch with reality. You're as out of touch with reality as Nancy Pelosi is with the United States of America right now. Kevin McCarthy, out of touch. Mitch McConnell, out of touch. The whole thing is just absolutely disastrous. So the Alaska GOP has actually now censored Mitch McConnell. I mean, they're furious with this guy. They're furious with him. They've had enough. They've censored him. And they're now, calling for Mitch McConnell to put a stop to it. Stop this. Get out of our way. Let Alaska be Alaska. According to the Web Times, on Thursday, the Alaskan Republican Party's District 9 Central Committee passed a resolution to condemn the senator. Minority leadership are spending on behalf of Lisa Murkowski. So they've now condemned him. They've gone after him. They're furious. They want him out. The incumbent senator running for a fourth full term in the upper chamber is locked in a tight contest against Shibaka, and they just want to be left alone. They want to be left alone. They do not want Mitch McConnell anywhere near this race. They just don't want it. And they've had enough. And rightly so. I think, you know, this is where we're headed right now as a conservative party. We want to just kind of get rid of the rhinos. We want to be done with it. Stay tuned. We'll talk about Zeldin Holcomb.
President Joe Biden's approval rating slipping sharply into negative territory in the third quarter.
The president's approval rating is slipping to a record low, with the midterms now a year away.
It has been a rough 24 hours for President Biden. Yesterday, the Supreme Court blocked his vaccine mandate for large businesses, and two senators from his own party dealt a blow to his efforts to pass voting rights legislation.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not.
We are now being told that the Taliban is inside Kabul. The Taliban has confirmed that they will be taking charge of the city in the next 2 hours.
We now know that all the U.S. diplomats that were at the embassy in Kabul have been taken to the airport in Kabul.
Topping our world lead right now, U.S. troops are heading to Afghanistan for an urgent rescue mission.
Joe Biden promised he would shut down the coronavirus. He failed. And in fact, in 2020, during a presidential debate, he did say, I'm going to shut down the virus, not the country.
Brandon, you also told me, as you can hear the chants from the crowd, let's go, Brandon.
Why are you trying so hard in your first year to pull the country so far to the left?
Well, I'm not. I don't know what you consider to be too far to the left.
I've always said this, Brett. If I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no.
All right, so Mitch McConnell isn't the only insanely washed up and just kind of out of touch reality that continues to at least try to represent the Republican Party. Paul Ryan has been running his mouth. Paul Ryan, for quite a while now, has really been on a mission to slam Trump, and it's too bad because those two got along quite well when Trump was actually in office. We spent the last segment talking about the fact that Mitch McConnell just won't go away, Mitch. Retire, go away, go deal with China, do whatever you got to do, but just get out of screwing this country up. And it's exactly what he's doing to Alaska right now. And the Alaska GOP has had enough. They've censored him. Paul Ryan also running his mouth. He's also a rhino that needs to kind of stay out of it. He's not even in office right now. I mean, the guy's doing nothing. And we have enough issues from Democrats. We already have enough issues from Liz Cheney. We have enough issues from Mitt Romney and others in the Republican Party. We have enough issues from the Democrats on a daily basis, let alone from members of our own party. Paul Ryan couldn't help himself. He had to jump in the ring and tell Fox Business what he thought about Trump.
Is Donald Trump electable in 2024, bearing in mind that you have a history with Mr. Trump?
Yeah, bear in mind, I do have a history. Everybody knows our feelings toward each other, I guess I'd say. My point is,
we're going to want to win so badly, we're going to want to beat Biden and the Democrats in 2024, that we won't nominate Trump because we want to win. That new swing voter in American politics is the suburban voter. And it's really clear the suburban voter doesn't like Trump, but they like Republicans. So I think anybody not named Trump, I think, is so much more likely to win the White House for us. And it's sort of like what the Democrats did. What they went from Dean to John Kerry in 04. They went from Bernie to Hillary in 16. They went from Bernie and Elizabeth Warren to Joe Biden to win in 2020. I think the same thing's going to be for us. We're going to want to win the White House so badly and beat the Democrats. And we know we're so much more likely to lose with Trump because of the fact that he's not popular with suburban voters, that we're going to want to win. And that's why I think we got a great stable of candidates, any of whom are really capable of not just getting the nomination, but winning the general election.
Are you a DeSantis guy?
I like all of them. Look, I'm not one of these things. I like Ron. I like Glenn Youngkin. I like Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, you name it. Any one of these candidates would make a fine president. And most importantly, will win the White House. And why would we want to risk giving the nomination to somebody that we know? We haven't lost, my party hasn't lost this much this fast than we had with Trump. We lost the House, the Senate, and the White House in the span of 2 years. I don't want to repeat that. I want to win. And that's why I think we're going to nominate somebody who can win.
I mean, Paul Ryan is so removed, so detached from what's going on in Washington right now. First of all, Paul Ryan, the last time I checked, he didn't speak on behalf of the 80 million people who voted. So there's just so many discrepancies in what he just said here. He said that the suburban Republican doesn't like Trump. Well, I'm recording this out of the suburbs right now. And you better believe I am in a very red country, red county here. Very pro-Trump. The suburban areas love Trump. So Paul Ryan, I mean, every single person he just listed, his choice for candidate, totally dodged the Ron DeSantis question, by the way, if you didn't catch that. The Fox Business host asked Paul Ryan what he thought about DeSantis. He said, anyway, Nikki Haley. Yeah, Nikki Haley and a bunch of other rhinos, okay? Just listed a whole bunch of moderates that are pretty much against everything that Donald Trump has been trying to do for this country. So I think Paul Ryan has it completely wrong. I don't think he has any idea what he's talking about. He does not represent the 80 million people that are rooting for Trump. Look at what, you know, I reported this the other day. Half of the last five rallies, or sorry, the last five Trump rallies, half the people who attended were new attendees. That is a massive, massive MAGA movement. And if that doesn't tell you that people are still for Trump, then your head's clearly in the sand. You are totally not paying attention to the data, or you just are so far gone and you're such a triggered Trump hater that you refuse to look at the data. And I think that's what Paul Ryan's doing. He thinks going on Fox Business and spouting out that we're not going to nominate Trump. First of all, Paul Ryan, that's not your decision. It's not your decision, and it definitely doesn't represent the views of 80 million people who already did vote for Donald Trump, maybe even more. We all know what happened in 2020. So Paul Ryan is just not helping. Liz Cheney, we already have enough of out of her that's not helping. Adam Kinzinger, not helping. And we don't need more loudmouth rhino Republicans running their mouths, confusing Republican voters, potentially already more than they are. Let's head over to New York. I watched the New York debate last night. It was brilliant between Lee Zeldin and Kathy Hochul, New York, my home state. This is a big one for New York. This is a big one. And it's big on so many levels because New York kind of steers the liberal insanity that we face in America. You've got two states that basically follow the playbook of liberal insanity. That is California, driven by Gavin Newsom. I don't think they're going to get rid of Gavin Newsom. We just saw what they did in the recall. Okay, California, you get what you vote for. Best of luck for you. Personally, I'd like to see that state kind of fall off the edge of America and just drift into Hawaii or wherever else it needs to go, because we can really do without California's liberal nightmare policies driven by Gavin Newsom. New York's a little bit more switched on, and crime has played a lot in that factor in our decision. And last night, I really think Lee Zeldin persuaded the independents, the moderate Democrats, who, like in Pennsylvania, are sick of the Democrat policies, are sick of out-of-control inflation, are sick to death of rising gas prices, which, by the way, are only coming down because Biden has tapped 15 million barrels. They are going to run out. Gas prices are going to go through the roof again. And Biden has only done this as a political ploy to keep prices artificially down heading into the midterms. This is how dangerous Democrats are for America. They're willing to destroy our economy just to maintain power. While Lee Zeldin called Hochul out for her disastrous soft-on-crime stance, all Kathy Hochul had to run on up until this point has been abortion. Abortion, abortion, abortion. Well, guess what? Democrats in New York State don't really care about abortion as much. They don't care about abortion as much as they care about getting shot in the head on their way home from the grocery store in New York City. Let's listen to what Lee Zeldin had to say about New Yorkers constantly getting beaten, slashed, stabbed, and pushed in front of subway cars every single day.
This governor, who still, to this moment, we're halfway through the debate, she still hasn't talked about locking up anyone committing any crimes.
Okay.
Anyone who commits a crime under our laws, especially with the change they made to bail, has consequences. I don't know why that's so important.
This governor, who's...
So that amazing is just is astonishing to me. Kathy Hochul turns to Lee Zeldin and says, I don't know why crime is so important to you, Lee. Well, how about because we're scared to death, Kathy Hochul, of our lives? And this isn't just in New York City anymore. This is now trickling down into suburbs. Dem-led cities have the strictest gun control measures in the United States of America, yet the worst crime rate. And you can pull up a long list of Republican states for me and say, oh, well, actually, according to the blah, 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 Republican states have way worse crime. Yeah. Why isn't it being reported then? Why every single time I turn on the news, I see more people shot in Lori Lightfoot, Chicago, more people killed in Los Angeles, more people killed in the subways of New York? You better believe that the media, the very left-wing, liberal-leaning media, would be having a field day over red state crime if there was actually red state crime. I don't see it. I don't think you've seen it. And I get comments like this all the time on my show. Oh, well, that's total BS. Republican states actually leading crime. Really? Because I just don't see it. Sorry. The media's not reporting on it. Something's not, I mean, I don't really know what's going on here, because we know the media would report on it. All I see is more crime in Chicago, more crime in New York City. Kathy Hochul actually had the audacity to turn to Lee Zeldin and say, I don't know why crime is such an important issue for you. That right there lost her the debate. Kathy Hochul is finished. Lee Zeldin destroyed her in the debate last night. It was beautiful to see. Absolutely beautiful to see. Lee Zeldin also took an opportunity to really hit home to those Democrats and independents who aren't paying attention. The moderator or the host asked, why does New York lead the entire nation in population loss? Why are we seeing such a mass exodus in New York State? Lee Zeldin's answer was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, and I've been asking for months, and My opponent still can't finish this sentence. You can't expect her to ever fix it. But New York leads the entire nation in population loss because. She actually got asked this question by the media a few weeks ago when she was at Binghamton Airport. She probably would love to have a redo because she messed it up that time. For me, you ask me, why does New York lead the entire nation in population loss? Because their wallets, their safety, their freedom, and their quality of their kids' education are under attack. So they're hitting their breaking point. They're looking at other states like the Carolinas, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, and elsewhere. And they feel like their money will go further, they'll feel safer, and they'll live life freer. The state is at a crossroads. We were at a crossroads in 1994 when New York elected George Pataki, and we're at a crossroads right now. But as far as what happens with Kathy Hochul and one-party rule for four more years, outsized power of self-described socialists, we need balance and common sense restored to Albany.
There's a perfect answer. We need balance and common sense restored to Albany. And that's what the American people want for America. I mean, Lee Zeldin just nailed it. Nailed that answer, because that is what Americans, Democrats and Republicans, are seeking for the entire United States of America. We just want common sense restored in America. It's not too much to ask. It's very simple. We just don't want to live in fear anymore. We don't want to live in poverty anymore. We don't want our grocery store prices to go up anymore. We are dying at the pumps financially. And all the Democrats have, when we do talk of crime, their only rebuttal is ever, well, if we just ban guns, there'd be no more crime. Really, Kathy Hochul? Because it was addressed last night during the debate, and Lee Zeldin once again nailed that answer. Lee Zeldin blasted Kathy Hochul for thinking the only crimes are those committed with guns. And it's just not true. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, of course. And unfortunately, Kathy Hochul believes that the only crimes that are being committed are these crimes with guns. And you have people who are afraid of being pushed in front of oncoming subway cars. They're being stabbed, beaten to death on the street with hammers. Go talk to the Asian American community and how it's impacted them with the loss of lives. Jewish people targeted with raw, violent anti-Semitism on our streets. It just happened yet again. We need to be talking about all of these other crimes, but instead, Kathy Hochul's too busy patting herself on the back. Job well done. No, actually, right now, there should be a special session. The state legislature should come back and they should overhaul cashless bail and these other pro-criminal laws with zero tolerance. But they're saying, elect me. She says, elect me, and then you'll find out where maybe I'll stand on this issue in January.
Again, Zeldin just nailed it. I mean, this is what we need from the Republican Party. We need them to come out swinging against these Democrats. We need them to address the real issues that are at play here. And Zeldin's doing it. Carrie Lake down in Arizona is doing it. And Carrie Lake, who's being called an election denier. I mean, again, this is all the Democrats have to run on. Oh, Republicans are extremists. Republicans are Trumpers. They're insurrectionists. They're election deniers. What does that tell us about how you want to fix America? And they've been doing it to Donald Trump since he left office for 2 years. All Democrats have is Trump's an insurrectionist. Okay. Yeah, we get it. We know what you think about Trump. We know what you think about me. What are you going to do to fix crime in America? What are you going to do, Biden, to bring down inflation? What are you going to do to bring down prices at the pump? Not artificially. Not by tapping our strategic petroleum reserves, which we all know is a very artificial way of keeping prices down. And it's just a matter of time before we run out of that too. And we see prices skyrocket to $5 a gallon, $10 a gallon. It's going to happen. Mark my words. It will happen if we don't start tackling these issues in a very sustainable way. Climate energy, not sustainable. Green New Deal, not sustainable. We need to be talking about drilling. We need to be talking about taking matters into our own hands. Democrats don't want to talk about that. They are party of the Band-Aid. They just throw Band-Aid after problem because they don't know how to fix the root of the problem. They don't. Give me a problem that they've created that they're trying to really get to the bottom of and solve once and for all, rather than just throwing a Band-Aid on it. Strategic Petroleum Reserves, Band-Aid. Buying electric cars, Band-Aid. We all know America cannot sustain electric vehicles right now. It's impossible. They played pandemic to try to win the hearts of the American people. Look at us. We're doing the right thing, which we all know has now turned out to be completely catastrophic for this country. Lockdowns, Band-Aids. Masks on children, Band-Aids. They are party of the Band-Aid. And I think Democrats have also had enough. I think they're finally waking up. I think they're finally starting to understand, based on what they're seeing in these debates. And if you're only joining me for the show now, go back to the beginning and watch the videos of the Democrats now saying, we've had enough. We're not going to take it anymore. I'm done. I used to be Democrat. Now I'm Republican. You would hear them say, I voted for Joe Biden, the biggest mistake in my life. I'm never doing it again. I'm Republican all the way. I want to see my country back on track. We'll see you guys tomorrow.